want to assure you of one thing before we begin. I have here about 50 sermons, or a little over that, but I'm only going to give you one of them this morning. And I thought it was interesting, the opening part of the service here, the call to worship fits in very nicely with the message that we have for you today. I won't reread the portion of scripture that's already been read there from Deuteronomy. So we'll just continue on from there, but keep that passage of scripture in mind. And maybe when you get home later today, go over it again and reread it and think about what you read and what's been said today. Someone has said that there are three signs that indicate a person is getting old. The first one is forgetfulness. The other two, I don't remember. Now, I think that forgetfulness is something that plagues us all from time to time, maybe sometimes worse than others, but we all forget certain things. I know of one lady who, at the time that I knew her, she was waiting for her husband to come home from work about 5 o'clock, and she wanted to go uptown before the stores closed and take care of some cotton business or something. She's looking all over the house for her purse, and come to find out it was hanging on her arm all the time. Now, I know that story too, because that was my mother that did that. And some years ago, I was there in the house. I don't think she'd mind that I share that story. But we all forget things. You go out to go somewhere in the car and you forget your car keys. It helps to have those for some reason. Cars work better when the ignition starts. Or we may forget a doctor's appointment. Or we may forget some other appointment. You forget to take your medicine. You could kind of skip it and think, well, you just have to wait till tomorrow. Any number of different things we forget. And the question is, why is it that we always and so easily forget things? Or in some cases, we forget others. Well, let me suggest a few reasons for that in passing. First of all, we may forget things because we're distracted. Maybe you're sitting down at the desk to do something, write a letter, and the doorbell rings or the telephone rings, and you get disrupted, and you forget momentarily what you were going to do originally. In some cases, Alzheimer's disease robs people, tragically enough, of their memories. We remember President Reagan and his 10-year battle with Alzheimer's. Sometimes we forget things because what was said to us just didn't sink in, which goes to show that in all probability, we weren't listening all that carefully to begin with. It may be that we forget things because we have a tendency to put off doing something, particularly if it's something we don't want to do. Mow the yard, for example, or clean out the garage or something, we kind of put that off, and before you know it, we got other things come into our mind and we forget that. It may be because we have misplaced priorities. It may be because we in haste, we want to hurry up and get that done or something else done, and so we just put this project on the back burner and we forget about it. It could be we forget things because of prosperity. I think this is what God is warning Israel about in our text. There are some things that need to be forgotten. You remember Paul said as he continued on his earthly journey, those things that are behind I forget, but I'm pressing forward to reach the goal that Christ has set before me. Forgetting past sins, even past successes, and moving forward. That's what we have to do as well. Some things need to be forgotten. Others things should never be forgotten. You know, auld lang syne, that old song there, should auld acquaintance be forgot, never brought to mind. It helps to remember old friends and acquaintances from time to time, kind of get together, family reunions and friends need to be kept in mind. We should never forget our relationship with Jesus Christ. That's why it's so important day in and day out that we pray and seek His face, turn to His Word and to Him in prayer, and build our relationship with Him. In the context in that we just read in from Deuteronomy here, God is giving Israel a message. He says, in effect, I brought you out of slavery in Egypt. I'm going to lead you into this land where there's all kinds of goodies, all kinds of things that you haven't done anything to. Well, you've not built these things, you've not planted the fields, you've not built the houses. I'm going to give you all these things, but in your prosperity, don't forget me. Enjoy what I've given to you, yes, but don't put me out of your sight. So now, in light of what God says, we need to consider that we may forget some things or may have forgotten some things that we shouldn't. And so let me suggest a few things as we move on here. First of all, we may forget, temporarily at least, God's presence. As the disciples did, you remember they got into the boat with Jesus. They were going out on the lake, and all of a sudden this storm drops down upon them. And disciples, they pushed the panic button like probably you and I would have done under similar circumstances. And we'll get back to that story in a little while. So hang on to that. God promised His presence to Moses about going to Egypt. Poor old Moses. He had quite a task ahead of him. God says, I'm going to send you down to Egypt. You're going to bring my people out of there. All 600,000 of them. Moses begins to make excuses. Lord, I can't speak well. I stutter and stammer. I just am not the man for God. Somebody else. But God says, I want you. And so He sends Moses, reassuring him that He would be with him to deliver him and to work with him on that project. Later on, after Moses passes away, God says to Joshua, I want you to lead my people into the promised land. And Joshua, I'm sure he had his doubts and his questions in mind, but he had been tutored under Moses, so he had seen God work through Moses, and he's reassured now by God that God would be with him as He had been with Moses. Both these men had their fears, but God would be with them all the way. Now, what does that say to us? You know, there are times that you and I have fears, aren't there? Someone has a fear of going on to a new job, or somebody may fear to teach a Sunday school class, or to share their faith. But see, in all these things, in spite of our fears, we have to depend upon our faith in Christ to carry us through and to enable us to be more than conquerors and to accomplish the things God wants us to do. We have to have a faith that's anchored in the one whom we cannot see, but whose presence is very real nevertheless. I think Ralph Cushman puts it very well in the poem that he wrote some years ago, I Met God in the Morning. Let me share that with you. I met God in the morning when my day was at its best, and His presence came like sunrise, like a glory in my breast. All day long the presence lingered. All day long He stayed with me, and we sailed with perfect calmness over a very troubled sea. Other ships were blown and battered. Other ships were sore distressed, but the winds that seemed to drive them brought to us a peace and rest. Then I thought of other mornings with a keen remorse of mind, when I too had loosed the moorings with the presence left behind. So I think I know the secret learned from many a troubled way, You must seek God in the morning if you want him through the day. I think that has a lot to say to us. But let's go on a little bit further. We may forget God's past works. Time and again, God had to remind Israel of what he had done for them. That I have brought you out of Egyptian slavery. I've given you victory in time of war. I've provided you for this and for that need. And time and again, Israel forgot. Had to be reminded, even had to be brought into captivity at one point. To the nation, he says, remember how I brought you from Egypt. To Joshua, as I was with Moses, so I'll be with you. We need to remember what God has done for us in the past. It's easy for us to forget what he's done. He's forgiven us our sins. The question is, have we forgiven others, or are we willing to forgive others who have done us wrong? Are we practicing the presence of God day in and day out? God's working. Seen many times throughout the scriptures in everything he did for Israel, and all you have to do is go back and reread the Old Testament, see the many victories, the many times, the many times of prosperity under good kings, and then all he's done for us through Jesus Christ. God's acts of creation and deliverance and salvation and provision and guidance and the sharing of his will and many other blessings God has given to us that we need to constantly be reminded of. If I could share a personal experience, some years ago when I was still in high school, I was living in Mount Vernon then. Me and a friend of mine, we were double dating, a couple of girls from Benton, and we were going home one night, and we'd got close to Mount Vernon. To one site there on 37, where it's kind of a deep, I wouldn't say ditch, a drop off. And I found myself getting rather sleepy. He was driving, and I was nodding on the front seat and just about to conk out. And suddenly I woke up, and I believe to this day that God woke me up long enough to turn over and look over where my friend was driving. He was getting naughty. He's getting pretty sleepy. And so I had to kind of jar him awake so we could continue our journey. Otherwise, we might just fall off into that ravine and just neither one of us been here today. But God, I believe, delivered us. God saved our lives on that occasion. Then God has done other things for me. Saved me as a boy of 12. Given me a wonderful family. Called me to preach. Worked things out in that regard. Given me many opportunities. So I've been pastoring over 40 years. Given me guidance in the scriptures, direction of his word. About 5.5 years ago, I had a heart attack. Had to have a couple of stents put in. But since then, God has given me a strong measure of health, and I continue through his grace today. But God has done a lot of things for me. I'm sure he has in your lives as well. We can't afford to forget what he's done for us. And then thirdly, we may forget God's promises. Think about God and Abraham. It says in Genesis, Abraham believed God and his faith was counted for righteousness. We see that demonstrated as Abraham calls his son Isaac and they go out to what Abraham believes is going to be the offering of his son. God actually told him to do that. And Abraham, being a man of faith, he acts in obedience. I'm sure there must have been questions in his mind. But they get to where they're going, where the sacrifice is to be offered. And Isaac turns to his father and said, "We've got the wood for the fire, but Father, but where is the sacrifice?" You remember what Abraham said? "My son, God will provide himself a sacrifice." And so he did. They turned about, and there was a ram caught in the thicket nearby. This was just a test of Abraham's faith, as God made clear to him. What other promises does God make? He promises pardon for sins. If we're faithful and just to forgive, to confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He promises peace that passes our human understanding. He promises protection from the devil. He promises guidance. He says in Psalms, "I will guide you with mine eye." He promises answers to prayer. He promises infilling with his Holy Spirit. He promises eternal life, etc., etc. God promises a lot of wonderful things. Peter says they are exceedingly great and precious promises, and they're all true. However, God's promises are conditional. We have to believe. Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith, it's impossible to please him, for he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." Do we believe God? Are we willing to take him at his word? 1 John 1:9, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Keep in mind that all of God's promises are for all who will trust and obey. But we have to meet his conditions, don't we? We often forget to call upon the Lord because of the reasons that we've already suggested. But when we do remember and we do call upon God in faith, believing what he said, God will respond. God will hear our cries, and God will come to our aid. We always have to remember God's presence. Jesus said, "I am with you always, even to the end of the world," or to the close of the age. We have to remember his past works, how he's helped us before. And if he's helped us before, we can have confidence that he'll help us in the present. And then we have to remember his promises and his faithful call to us. "Call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." Jeremiah 33:3. Well, let's get back to the disciples in the boat. There they are out in the boat, and the storm is practically wreaking havoc and causing them to push the panic button. And finally, they wake up to the fact that Jesus is right there in the boat with them. They go back and say, "Lord, don't you care? We're going to die out here." Jesus calmly raises up and addresses the waves, "Peace, be still." And there's a great calm. And the disciples are astonished. They've forgotten his power. They've forgotten momentarily that he was with them. But when they called upon him, he stilled their fears and calmed the storm. And I think the lesson for that is, when the storms hit you and me, and they do come in the form of physical health or accidents or misunderstandings or problems on the job, any number of different things we could bring to mind. When we're going through these times, let's not panic, but pray and trust the Lord to be with us and to help us through these times. And not just when things are going rough and there's storms are upon us. We can't afford to forget God any day, in storms or in times of peace and security. Let's remember the Lord, trusting him. Trusting his wisdom, his guidance, his word for direction and help and deliverance and for the provisions of every need that we have. Let us pray. Father, thank you and praise you for your faithfulness. Thank you and praise you for your word and for your promises. Thank you, Lord, for the many ways in which you've heard and answered prayer in our lives and continue to do so. May you be pleased, bless, and use your word to continue to speak to us and to remind us day by day of your faithful presence and your loving concern for each of us. We give you thanks and praise. We offer our thanksgivings and praises in Jesus' name and to his glory. Amen. Covenant prayer together. Grant, O Lord, that what has been said with our lips we may believe in our hearts, and that what we believe in our hearts we may practice in our lives through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Thank you for your faithfulness, O Lord. May you dismiss the service with your blessing and go with each of us to our homes. May you help us to remember you day in and day out, and to follow your guidance, and just seek to be your living witnesses to others who need to have the hope that we have in Christ. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.